Last week, we looked at the idea of that which you seek is seeking you. And in this week's podcast, yes, even though we're seeking something out there, there's a part of us that is the thing that we're seeking and that we already know intrinsically what the answer is. My name is Lana Ski, and I'm the hostess of the Supernova podcast. And I want to invite you into an invitation to greatness towards all things Supernova. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the Supernova podcast. So great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Nana. I'm so pleased to be here to connect with you and your audience today.
Oh, I'm so grateful. And yeah, when I was reading, when we were connecting earlier and just hearing about what you do, it's just so much amazingness on it. And I love the way that you combine things like e-psychology, energy work, and shamanism, and so many different elements into it. And It's amazing to see how integrated the world is getting and how open it is to allowing for these kinds of spaces to be filled.
Yeah, I love how you said that. I really find that because we're all so unique, the different things work better for different people or even sometimes for different issues that are being worked on. So I tend to kind of flip around when I work with people, that they kind of a whole bunch of stuff instead of one particular thing that should work.
Absolutely. As you say, I mean, there's different people going through different things. People through the coaching realm respond to different approaches and different aspects of certain things. So there definitely needs to be that openness to that.
Oh, absolutely. I am an empath, which is something I use as a diagnostic tool when I work with people. So because I am so energy sensitive, I can easily determine which of my tools would be most effective when I work with someone. It's a great tool to have.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure it just takes a lot of stress off of you because you're not having to deal with their blockages and their reactions to things. You're able to move through that space a lot quicker.
Well, when you can look at things energetically and kind of get out of your head, you can really move things quicker.
Yeah, no, I always find that amazing. Like even when I've been coaching and when I'm really centered, when I'm really grounded, when I'm in that energy space, all of a sudden, so many different things become available to you, if it's face-to-face or even if it's online. And when you're not in that space, it's just so restrictive and it's just so structured and it doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, I totally agree. When you can be grounded, not only do you have access to your own wisdom, but you have your guides and your helpers who can give you little messages. You can't get that if you're in your head thinking.
Because again, like going back to all these different modalities that you fuse together, if a person doesn't really know themselves and they don't know, I mean, you're obviously reading their energy, so you have a bit more of a guide in terms of what works for them. But a lot of people play this game where they're either so shut off from what really serves them, what really makes them successful, or they're playing a game where they're just trying to please somebody else, and they're just, you know, like the emotion of getting acceptance and, you know, the feeling of belonging and all those other heart-shaped things come into play, and it really taints the coaching. Don't you find that?
Oh, there are so many people that are in those places, and when you can connect with them so deeply, even if it's just for a moment, and show them that little spark. I don't know about you, but I really respond immediately, and they can see it in me. They can feel it in themselves. It's such a gift.
It is such a gift. And taking that to a deeper level, it really gets to an emotional thing. And for me, emotions are, there's two sides to the coin. There's people get lost in the emotions and that scares them, so they don't do the things that are going to set them off into their greatness, because right now this part feels uncomfortable. But on the other side of emotion, there's the vibration of it. You know, when you're stepping into good emotions, love and acceptance and the things that you really want and you're manifesting from that space, so much magical things happen. So it's quite a pendulum shift between don't focus on your emotions because you could get lost in the limitations of them, but also use your emotions to empower you.
Interesting. I've never considered the limitations of emotion. That's actually really an interesting concept. I, for me, being a feeler, emotions are so deep and they can shift so easily. It's so much like, yes, energy flows. I think maybe the people who get kind of stuck in the emotion, that their unconscious mind keeps replaying old tapes that keep them in that state.
That would make sense. And they just can't find another emotional path to go down.
Yes, as our unconscious mind works, you know, as we strengthen those tapes that get played over and over and over again, it does become a little bit more challenging to change what we think, what we say to ourselves. I got this lovely little trinity of beliefs and thoughts and emotions that create our reality, and we're smack in the center of it. So if we don't like our reality, we can start with ourselves.
True. And it's either going to show up that we're going to complain about it, which means, you know, entrenching those tapes and replaying them even louder and louder, or it could be a process of change, which is working through that. And a process of creation, which is really just taking a quantum leap through that.
Absolutely. I think often we kind of get stuck in that complaining route until our pain is great enough to do something about it. But sometimes we can just get that inspiration to make that quantum jump into the magical world of creation.
In your line of work, do you find that a lot of your clients are really rooted in their emotions and they're really holding onto their baggage and not able to let that go? Or do you find that most of them are in the space where they may want to hold on to it, but they're willing to make that shift?
It really depends. A lot of people aren't even aware they have their emotional baggage, that it's so far ingrained. Sometimes I'll have people that come to me for physical issues and it turns out to be some emotional thing that happened 20 years ago and they're so surprised, or they say, I thought I dealt with that. Just because it isn't actively being expressed in our emotional field doesn't mean that we're not carrying it.
One of the big ones that often pops up is the whole stress feeling and the implications that plays in our lives. And pretty much all the illnesses and all the things that are happening, well, not all the things that are happening to humanity, but majority of them are stress-based. And it's coming out of those emotions.
It's incredible. So, you know, maybe I'm a romantic at heart, but I believe that as each of us do our own work, that energy goes out into the whole and it can affect positively all of creation. So I like to do my work, that's for sure, and I'm grateful to help other people do their work as well.
Well, you mentioned a little bit earlier you hold emotions in a very particular way, because I brought up the negative, the limiting, and the empowering piece of it. So when you kind of see a entrepreneur or another coach or somebody who's wanting to give back to the world, and they're coming to you with energetic blockages and emotional issues, where do you see like the critical point being in their lives?
Well, once again, I would really say that everyone is different. Often with coaches, because they're coaches and they know how to influence other people and kind of work around their issues. Sometimes they just go right into that coaching mode. So I have to kind of get them to leave that at the door and be with themselves without putting the persona of a coach on.
Sure, or they try and self-analyze their answers, which I'm sure a lot of psychologists have been labeled as doing as well, you know, where we're constantly self-regulating ourselves.
Incredible. And I mean, just for that, you know, half an hour, just to sit with yourself and be real and really listen to your body and listen to your emotions and get that sense of where you are. It's what every coach wants their clients to do. And yet sometimes it's a really hard time being that present with their own feelings.
Well, there's this intensity to it. I mean, there's just this, it's a beautiful, emotional, sometimes negative space that you really drop into and you almost surrender into. And I think maybe for a lot of people, they just find that a little bit too overwhelming. Or maybe, as you said as well, there's those past issues that they haven't dealt with, and it's just easier to sweep them under the rug.
Well, exactly. And although nobody likes to feel negative, sometimes you have to work through it a little bit. It doesn't mean you have to pretending it isn't there doesn't make it go away.
Reality checking. And grounding yourself in that space is so important, because a lot of people kind of go into this whole idea of affirmations and, you know, think happy and feel happy. And meanwhile, you're just milking over exactly what's happening without an idea of what's really happening and what really needs to be changed.
Well, exactly. And one of the principles in my shamanic training is that before we start creating something or using that affirmations, positive energy, you need a foundation that's strong and matches it. So if in your foundation you're holding all of this anger or sadness or fear or guilt, you're just putting all those affirmations on top of that foundation. It really needs to be dealt with to heal, so that your affirmations and your positive creative work can be more productive.
And I'm so fascinated that something like shamanism, which has been around since the beginning of time, is still going strong, and it's finding its way into so many people's lives and healing them on such a cellular level. How did you get into that?
Well, it's an interesting question, actually. The type of shamanism that I study is Huna, which is the Hawaiian shamanic training.
Oh, I'm familiar with that one.
Beautiful, it's beautiful. So I travel to Hawaii and I study with my kumu, my teachers, and it's actually one of the few shamanic trainings that are actually based on love, on aloha. And I think it was 2005 when I was first introduced to it. We had a fellow here from Hawaii kind of do a weekend course, and I went and I took it. And I knew how powerful it was, because in the process, we did the renowned process of Ho'oponopono. We do it a little bit differently than is generally in the media, but as we did it, I could feel an entity leave my energy field, and then I could feel it come back in. And so I had to go to him personally and ask him to remove it. But I knew immediately that this was a really powerful form of healing. I also knew at that time that it was a way of life, and I wasn't quite ready to commit, but I went back to it in 2010, and it's become a part of my daily life.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I actually have a book, and I just managed to pull it out, called The Urban Shaman, which is written by Sergei Carlini King.
Yes.
And apparently he's one of the trainers in that method. And when you mentioned aloha, like, it just reminded me of that beautiful definition of what aloha really means. I'm not going to get it right. You're usually going to speak more into it. But it was something about to love is to be happy with, and just to kind of be in that moment and be in that celebration. Can you speak into that? Because it's such a beautiful word.
Well, it is a beautiful word. And a beautiful world. right with the world, with the gods, with nature, with their relationships on every level. So they come from that really heart-based place. And they share, they speak from that place, they share from that place. It actually reminds me a little bit, I do some Egyptian stuff too, and it reminds me of having your heart weighed at the end of your life by Anubis and the scales of Mott, weighing the feather against your heart, that through aloha and ho'oponopono, you can clear all those little nuances, little wiggly things in there that take you out of your peace. And that's really what it talks about, being very congruent on all of your levels, being who you are, being at peace with who you are, and projecting your love energy out in everything you do.
So it really also comes down to inner alignment and inner knowing, and it goes back to that authenticity. So like you're living in integrity with everything that you're doing on the highest plane rather than just on a reactionary plane.
Absolutely. And when you can get to that level, you make magic in your life. You're responsible for your life and you have control over it.
So that's a very important point you just mentioned, that you're in control of it, because it's so easy, again, with the emotional thing, to feel like it's, even though emotions are something that happen on the inside, we see them as something that generally happen on the outside because we're reacting to a lot of different things or feeling that. So when you know that you're in control of it, you're actually creating your reality and you're creating your emotions and you're creating your collective representation of who you really are.
Exactly. And you can take that one step further in using the law of attraction, that when you come from that place of authenticity and control over your life and you're no longer a victim, the things that come into your life are very different than the things that come in when you feel like a victim.
It's where you experience a true sense of worth and value as well, isn't it?
Oh, you just gave me goosebumps. Yes.
Oh, I love those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's not like you can snap your fingers. It's a work in progress because there's so many layers within ourselves that we've maybe stepped out of our truth or hidden our truth from other people or ourselves. And you know, it has to come up, and we have to accept and forgive and move forward from that open-hearted and unconditional love.
And I think what's also important there, because there are so many layers and it's a continuous journey, that people don't fall into the traditional trap of thinking, you know, success is over the hill. So, you know, I'll only get it, the life I want, once I've gone through years and years of this. This kind of work helps you speed up that process, and you're already starting to shift and step into things that you want to do. It's not like you have to do a 10-year course and then you'll only see the first result coming out of it.
Oh, heavens no. Heavens no. There is immediate results always. Awareness is key, though. A lot of people could practice a little bit more awareness, let's say, in watching themselves and their own reactions. And I know in my own healing work, for my own self, I can often see my reactions or responses differently, even on things I haven't worked on. I'll tell you really quickly a story about, I used to be terrified of spiders. I had such a phobic spider reaction. I would run out of the room if I saw a spider, and someone in my family would have to come and, you know, take that spider out. And one day, I at that time I was doing a lot of work on myself on body talk, and one day I was sitting in my home and a little spider came down from the ceiling and walked really slowly all the way down my arm, and I just sat there and was totally amazed that I was not, you know, freaking out and running out of the room. And I knew how powerful the transformation work was because of my own reaction. I've later found out that spider is one of my animal totems, so.
Well, spiders tend to be very spiritual animals, aren't they? They always like the one of the ones that they always say are linked to spiritual work.
Well, they talk about, their message is about creation and the awe of creation creating reality. So, when you are willing to, I guess, step into that path, perhaps that's one way to look at it. As well, my releasing the fear of spiders helped me along my spiritual path more than just dropping my phobia.
And I think that's just such a beautiful metaphor. I actually find myself going through that space right now of releasing my fear of spiders, and they're starting to get a little bit bigger, but they're still relatively small, and I'm like, I'm still okay with them. A big hairy one hasn't quite landed in my orbit yet, so I'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm fortunate we don't have big hairy ones here in Canada, but we do have some jumping spiders, which can you know, take you by surprise sometimes. Let's say that.
I can imagine. Ooh. Just got the goosebumps there, but not in a nice way. But you've also been on quite a spiritual journey yourself. I mean, you were diagnosed with cancer, and you've had a lot of things to work with. And I think maybe that's where a lot of the emotion piece came in for you, because releasing all of that. Can you speak into a little bit of your journey and how that's empowered you to do the work that you're doing?
Well, it's been quite a journey for sure. I was probably 22 when I was diagnosed out of the blue, I might say. I went to my doctor and told him something wasn't quite right with my knee. I could feel something wasn't right. And when she checked, she found a little lump, and she was sure it wasn't anything, but it turned out to be an extremely aggressive cancer that they really didn't have any way of treating successfully. So there, as they told me, they wanted to amputate my leg, and if they did that, they would give me a 50% chance of living for 5 years. And it was really wild. And if I didn't have my leg amputated, that, you know, I would surely be dead within a year. And I actually did not go through the surgery. I kept having this dream. Because I live near the train tracks, I would have this dream that if I had the operation, I might as well go to the end of the train track and lay my leg down on the track. It was just like this, being hit by a train. It was, you know, I was 22. I was probably married about 2 years. I had a young son. It was really challenging, a really challenging time where I had to, you know, really garner my inner strength and go against the medical community, because I just knew that that wasn't right. And I started to have all of these fascinating and supportive spiritual experiences that really kind of fed my soul as I walked on this crazy path. The first 2 years after being diagnosed was very difficult for me, as you can imagine. The first year, because I just didn't know, and the second year, in case they got it wrong. But then after that, you know, I've been really good. I was fortunate because this particular type of cancer had a sign. If it was growing, it created a rash on your abdomen. If it was, so the very first thing I did was I went to see my brother, who had just gotten into herbs and muscle testing. And it's funny because the whole family thought he was gone off his rocker. He was crazy. And that, I knew that I had to go see him, and of course he was too close to actually work with me, so he to the person who taught him. And I started taking the herbs and doing a lot of spiritual work. And as I started, I didn't live in the city where my brother lived, so I had to find someone here that could help me. And I found someone who took me off all the herbs that I was muscle tested on, and I started to get that rash on my stomach. And so I knew that I had to go back to the herbs. So from there, I learned how to muscle test. And from learning how to muscle test, it actually, my empathic stuff became more tangible for me, because I could actually reach out to a food or a book or a bottle of supplements, and I could feel it either strengthen my energy system or weaken. And that's a tool that just kind of got stronger and stronger and stronger. So, you know, cancer is not really a way I would suggest people to get on their path, but it certainly did present me with incredible gifts. I'm sure there's a more gentle way of doing that.
Well, I mean, whether it's cancer or something else, I mean, most people find it in their darkest hour, in a moment where things aren't necessarily working for them. And once they're done with the fighting part of it, the reaction part of it, and they kind of surrender into it, then things start unfolding. I'm not saying that that's also the only way that it happens, because there's a lot of other ways to tap into your purpose and your calling. That seems to be quite a common way of doing that. And this cancer for you came up, and it really got you so grounded and so connected to who you are on such a cellular level, and the things around you that serve you. So it really did start your path for you. It's quite an amazing story.
It absolutely did. And years later, I was shown by my guides that my whole leg was filled with resentment. That was the root, the emotion that had created that cancer experience. And as crazy it sounds, I'm so grateful for it and for all the messages it's given me. It certainly has changed the path of my life.
So resentment, and I think maybe anger, they're one of the big emotions that come up. Are there any other big ones that really catapult a person or hold them back?
Oh, the biggest ones, I've got goosebumps again. The biggest ones, besides anger, are sadness, fear, and guilt and shame. They're really, and most emotions are really, most other emotions can fit under one of those major headings at some place. We all have experiences in our life, and we're human. We go through that kind of gamut from here to experience. So my recommendation for people when they're going through these intense emotions is to just breathe really deeply, because the diaphragm actually can help process really strong emotions. Typically what happens when we go in that stress mode, we breathe really shallow, right? And we're in our head. We're not processing the emotion. We need to breathe deeper. Bombarded with messages all the time, and our bodies especially have a direct association with our unconscious mind, and we often have pains. Or I think of a time when I had this job that, you know, it was really time that I had left. I wasn't enjoying it anymore, and every morning that I laid there in bed before I had to get up, my feet would ache before I went to work. Not on my days off. My feet just didn't want to go. You know, and sooner or later I listened and got on my merry way. But it's incredible the messages that our bodies give us.
Oh, absolutely. It's just such a guiding system.
Absolutely. And the body is such a unique tool, because you can actually use it for intuitive guidance. So you can, being anemic, you can hold it, hold some food, let's say, that you want to eat in your energy system, and you can develop the sense to determine if that is something your body wants to eat or not. The only thing I counsel people, or I should say the biggest thing I would counsel people about that, is that there can't be an attachment. You know, if you have chocolate cake in front of you that you really, really want to eat, and you hold it in your energy system, your unconscious mind's going to respond by, oh, chocolate cake, as compared to, is it really, you know, something that my body wants? Sometimes chocolate cake is okay, but you have to approach guidance through your body from, would you like me to give you an example, maybe for an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that would be great.
An example for someone who's in their own business, and maybe they're working on, they want to create a product or package a bunch of services. They can use their body response, going through their ideas to feel which one feels right through their body. Does it open their heart? Does it make their stomach feel anxious? Again, I would probably, if there was some anxiety involved in the body's response, I would check why you were feeling anxious. Because are you afraid that you might be successful, or you would have more visibility, which are things that entrepreneurs should want? Or is that this anxiety is because this is not in alignment with your message or who you are?
We can easily trip ourselves up thinking, this is a sign, it's not for me. And it's actually just your own blocks or threshold guardians or fears and beliefs that are really just holding up a barrier for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's really important to do a little bit of inner work to determine what exactly the issue is. Where it's so easy just to think that, you know, everything that doesn't feel good is because you shouldn't do it. But sometimes it's because of your own baggage.
To find out more about igniting more authentic experiences in your life, head on over to www.lenaski.com. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll not only get an exclusive guide to Get Up and Go-Go, a guide to making things happen, but you'll also get front row tickets and discounted tickets to the launch of my new online course, How to Market Yourself Authentically. So head on over to www.lenaski to find out more.